It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the wall, ladies and gentlemen, and we have run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang, this is Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm Mel, Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, guys. It's October 23rd. We've got two big guests tonight. Ryan O'Reilly and Bill DeMott's going to be with us. I'm Doc Young, and, Les Thatcher kind of had an emergency over at his house in the last 15, 20 minutes or so, which is why we're coming on the air a couple minutes late tonight. But pulling my butt out of the fire is my good friend from Figure Four Weekly Newsletter and my broadcast homie, Brian Alvarez, is with us. Brian, thanks. I know it's this big last minute thing, and I really appreciate you coming on and blessing us tonight.
I don't know about blessing you, but thanks for having me.
We got a lot of big news to get to this week, Brian. Of course, last night, if you watched Raw, I barely made it past that first hour. When Triple H came out after Hornswoggle ran away, that's when I kind of stopped paying attention. But Michelle was injured last night.
Yeah, I actually thought the Hunter thing ended up pretty good. They just did a big brawl, and it was better than the usual brawls because it was one of those out-of-control deals that the people really got into because it looked crazy, and it was a good little build for the pay-per-view on Sunday.
It was one of those things where you get the two apart, and you think it's over, but it's not.
Yeah.
And they go back. And those are the kind of cool brawls that I like to see.
So that was pretty good. And Candice Michelle got hurt. She fell off the top rope. I think she was going to try and take a flip bump. I guess she was going to land sort of on her knees, and the momentum would flip her over to her back. And she ended up way too low and went straight down on her head and knocked herself out and got a concussion and broke her clavicle. So she's out for quite a while now, I think 8 weeks or so, somewhere along that line. But very scary. They brought the EMTs in. They were a little careless with her. If you know anything about concussions or potential neck injuries, they were
outrageously careless.
Well, you might say that, sure. There were actual EMTs out there, so I can't say it was completely careless, but it was a poor showing. But she ended up, thankfully, was nothing horrible, so she ended up all right. But it was a pretty scary situation.
Now, I guess when Candice went down and she was down and out, I mean, her eyes are open, but she was kind of glazed and looking up, and both her feet, if you guys at home had seen this, were just kind of sticking up off the mat a few inches. Like, in her mind, she was still standing up, you know, that kind of thing. So the referee, you can hear on the audio him tell Beth, pull her out and pin her, it's over. And so she drags her by the arms to the middle of the ring, pins her, match is over. They let Candice sit up. They give her some water. They ask her if she's okay. She says, yeah. They ask her if she can walk. She says, yeah. Lays back down. Then they call for the stretcher.
Yeah.
Not exactly certified first aid there, but luckily there was nothing wrong with her neck.
Yeah, I think that they just figured that she'd been knocked out,
yeah.
and she seemed to be moving once she came to and everything like that. So I think moving arms and legs, they didn't think it was a neck injury or a serious neck injury or anything like that. I would not have dragged her to the middle. I would have just ended the match. But, it's hard. I don't know. I don't get angry, really, at decisions made in the heat of the moment.
Right.
Because everybody can look back at the tape and go, boy, that was sure stupid.
Right.
Yeah, well, you weren't there.
Right.
And when you're there, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, that's just the way things go.
Yeah, and it is. It's just lucky that it wasn't anything more serious. And we'll see Candace back in a couple of months.
Yep.
So that's good news. Did you see the debut of D.H. Smith? D.H. Smith, Brian. What is that? It sounds like an accountant.
It sounds like a doctor from the 19th century. I don't. You know, obviously the whole idea was they were gonna team up the Hart Foundation.
Right.
And then Teddy Hart got himself fired.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of different ideas, and I think that last week, in fact, last week they did almost debut on SmackDown. It was one of the ideas was he would do the John Cena Kurt Angle deal where he would. Somebody would make an open challenge. He'd come out and accept, beat him, and the star would be born, theoretically, since that show was taped in the UK. But for whatever reason, they didn't do that. And then next thing you know, he's on Raw. He is announcing that he's a son of Davey Boy Smith without bothering to announce his name.
Right.
He's wearing his old trunks that I think I saw him wearing at Pinnacle Wrestling here in Seattle about a year and a half ago. Didn't even get new gear. Canadian flag on the back of him with no explanation as to why he's got a Canadian flag on his ass. And he just sort of debuted with a wacky name. And I guess the good news is everybody seemed to recognize him. They seemed to be into him. And they recognized the running power slam, which surprised me.
Right.
So it could have been worse.
It's hard not to recognize the guy. He looks exactly, a smaller version, of course, but exactly like his dad.
Well, the thing now is you've got so many children watching that there are plenty of people that have never seen the British Bulldog.
Right.
And I was sort of surprised by how many people recognized the running power slam. It totally caught me off guard.
That
actually.
Was good stuff. And we can thank WWE 24/7 for that, probably.
Perhaps, yeah.
The Kennedy promo was good.
The promo at the beginning of the show?
I liked it. I thought it served its purpose. And except, you know, when Jeff Hardy came out, that's when it all became, but the promo itself at the very beginning was good in that I thought that it was illustrative. I don't think the actual illustrations were necessary, but promos that are illustrative and tell stories and compare and things like that and make you think a little bit, I kind of like those things.
I actually thought the exact opposite. I didn't think much about Kennedy's promo. It was just the same Kennedy promo I've seen a million times, but I thought Jeff Hardy cut the best promo of his entire career, actually, which really isn't saying much when you're Jeff Hardy, but between his promo and... Still there?
Yeah.
Between his promo and everything that happened at the end of the show, his match, I just sat there and I thought, God, I hope that he wins the deal.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him get that shot.
That would be cool. I don't know if that would be his first one or not, but it kind of seems like it to me.
Well, certainly on a major level on a pay-per-view,
right.
I think that would be the first
mm-hmm.
one.
Big Head in the chat room is asking, what do you think D.H. Smith stands for? Do you think it's a tribute to his mother, his father?
It's probably David Harry.
That's what I was thinking was David Harry, but he brings up maybe Diana Hart.
I would be shocked.
I would be too. Who knows?
I would say David Harry.
I would too. ECW was saved. I guess, you know, big breaking news this afternoon.
They signed a new one-year deal. God knows why. There was a lot of talk, obviously, last week that they weren't looking to re-sign the Sci-Fi Network.
Right.
And they did. So there you go. Like I said, I don't know why. The show is useless. It's doing horrible numbers. And there you go.
It rivals Who Wants to Be a Superhero in ratings.
Does it really?
Yes. I think Who Wants to Be a Superhero is getting 1.1s.
On... What's it on, though?
It's on Sci-Fi.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So they're both.
Are you telling me you've never seen the show?
I've never seen the show. No.
Wow.
I try and avoid all TV. The 1-1 is bad for original programming, which ECW is. So I guess they I don't know what they were thinking.
They at least rival TNA's numbers.
Maybe they talked them into, you know, we're going to combine these two brands, and Kane's coming over, and talked him into it that way. I have no idea. I would not have re-signed it, but I'm not sci-fi.
Well, I guess last week they also announced that they were going to do a commercial-free internet version of ECW. Are they still going to do this now?
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't know this for sure because I never watched it, but I was told that they had something similar to this already for a long time and that this wasn't something new.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess...
They already have an internet version of a show that nobody watches, though.
Heat.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
ECW was originally going to be an internet-only show, and they ended up, One Night Stand was so hot that Vince was like, we got to get this on TV. And they did everything that was unlike what they'd done on the pay-per-view, whole thing bombed, and I don't know, it's another hour of TV that, I mean, sometimes there's some good stuff on there, but it's just, I don't know, doesn't do anything for me.
I just find it weird that ECW is on sci-fi at all.
Well, yeah.
Because I was like, and this was what, I guess the beginning of summer last year is when it debuted on sci-fi, and there were all the jokes going around, you know, what's next, you know, WWE really hot on the Food Network or, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that. But it's another year, guys, at least.
They need to cut SmackDown while they're at it.
Yeah, probably.
That show needs to be an hour.
I don't see the whole
need. ECW needs to be 30 minutes, I've decided.
I don't see the whole need for 2 hours of television, three different shows a week. It's overkill, in my opinion, and yeah. Saturation. I know it's three different networks, and it's three different paychecks, and blah, 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 but I think that you have to look at the future of the company and the business when you're thinking about that. If you oversaturate them now, you're not going to make a lot of money in the future. It's just going to go down. If you keep it at an even keel, as far as attendance and things like that, and don't overload everybody's brain with where they have to watch wrestling every day, everything will be more exciting, in my opinion.
Well, I think the other big issue is if you're going to have three shows and everything like that, I mean, that's fine if there's a reason to watch the shows, but I've asked myself many times, why would anybody watch the show? And, I mean, okay, you've got an ECW-SmackDown merger, and I saw Chuck Palumbo and Chris Masters having another match on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. How many times can I watch that match?
Right.
I mean, if it's compelling, it's okay to have a feud,
mm-hmm.
but it's like I watch the same show every single week, and I can't imagine sometimes if I were not doing this for a living, taking 2 hours out of my Friday night to watch the same show that I pretty much watched the week before.
Right.
It baffles me. And why that show does such good numbers, I guess there's just so many children that have nothing to do on a Friday night.
And I got to give it up to you that you actually do watch it because you watch and follow these shows more than I do and definitely more than Les does because on Monday nights, it's all about Dancing with the Stars for Les Thatcher.
I can't blame him for that, really.
But so sometimes when we come on, he's like, "Yeah, I heard this."
I actually liked. I thought Raw was good last night, but there are many weeks where, especially of late, even Raw has just been a show.
Mm-hmm. For the sake of a show.
Yeah, not a good thing.
No, Crystal Marshall let go last week by WWE. Do you got the skinny on this?
Well, she was on her way out for a long time. I think all the way back to August. The whole Vince had it in his head that, well, when this marriage thing is over, we'll do a storyline where Vicky fires her, and instead of going to Raw, she's just not going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd caused a lot of different problems. I can actually plug my newsletter. The whole story is in there. But long story short, she had a bunch of different problems, some behavioral problems, and issues at house shows and all sorts of things. And Vince finally just said, why are we investing in this woman? So that was the end of that. They just decided once the Teddy Long thing went down just to not bring her back. So
is Teddy Long coming back? Or
I don't know what's up with him. I would presume he will at some point do something.
I would because they're calling her the acting SmackDown GM.
Well, I think that's because in storyline he's coming back.
Right, but at some point if you ever hear them just say the SmackDown GM, poor Teddy.
Well, not necessarily, because he could come back, and I don't think they're going to get rid of Teddy Long because they like him, and they don't have problems with him.
Right.
He's a good character, so I would expect that he'll be fine.
So I guess you didn't enjoy, not yesterday's, but last week's Raw is Roadrunner episode. with
I've completely forgotten the show, and if you'd not mentioned Roadrunner, I would have forgotten the explosion. I just hate all the Hornswoggle stuff.
I hate it, too. That was the weakest explosion I ever saw, though.
I thought it was so dumb, and Vinny, that does a show with me, thought it was great, and I just can't fathom that. I mean, I'm a fan of wacky stuff here and there, and there's been plenty of wacky stuff that I thought was great, and I didn't get the comedy, and he blew him up.
I was waiting for, like, some cartoon music to come over the arena and go, wah, 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 wah.
That's the only thing that was missing.
That's it. It's pretty bad. Speaking of, we talked about Chris Masters earlier, mentioned him. I guess PW Insider's reporting that he was overseas last week in the UK and got a dislocated elbow. I guess there's no word on when he's expected to come back, but that's where he is if you've been wondering. Haven't seen no Chris Masters on your television lately.
Actually, it was on Friday.
Yeah, it was on Friday.
But, no, he was on the show Friday.
Oh, he was on the show. I didn't mean on the television, I meant in the ring.
I see. It was that same Chuck Palumbo match I've seen 18 times.
Yes.
Yeah, he hurt himself. And actually, it was ironic because I think there was a problem in the match between him and Undertaker where he was supposed to be selling his arm and he wasn't, and Undertaker got upset. And then, irony of ironies, he really hurt his arm. So.
Crazy.
Yeah. Messing with the magic of The Undertaker.
You go down for that. WWE.com has opened a section for Survivor Series. That's going to be November 18th, of course. The section heavily promotes the return of Edge to the company. I miss Edge. It seems like he hasn't been gone that long, but I still miss him.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if he ran in on Sunday, to be honest with you.
I would. I wouldn't want to do that. I don't know, because then you have to... Well, I don't know. That does kind of sound like a good idea, come to think of it. Because it's on the pay-per-view. You're not giving it away for free.
Yeah.
And then plus, it's a little more talk throughout the month.
Yeah.
About, well, he was there then, and now he's coming back to... Yeah, that's a good idea. TMZ.com is reporting that John Cena is going to be taking part in NBC's Celebrity Apprentice. The website's reporting that UFC's Tito Ortiz... Kisses Gene Simmons and other celebrities are going to be taking part. They already have footage up of Ortiz selling hot dogs on the streets of New York City. That's going to air mid-season.
What if he threatens to beat anybody if they don't buy his hot dog?
I guess what it was it was Ortiz and I believe Simmons who were supposed to be getting people's attention to come and buy the hot dogs. And Cena was one of the guys actually making the hot dogs.
My question is, what does the winner get?
It was. Have you seen Apprentice?
Well, yeah. I mean, you get a job with Trump.
Right.
So potentially, John Cena may not come back. Tito Ortiz may not fight. He may be in an office.
I have no idea. But I don't know if it's some sort of business partnership that you get, or some sort of. I guess.
Maybe it's just your sponsor, and you can have Trump on your ass when you go into the ring.
Yeah.
I don't know. I won't be watching that show. We'll have a correspondent that will watch it for us.
I was never a big fan of Trump in the first place. So.
I'm a huge fan of Trump, actually.
Really?
I thought he was so great in the WrestleMania stuff, because it's just like, there's something about Donald Trump. I don't know what it is. I thought it was great.
I thought he was completely boring. I mean, you could tell... that he didn't want to be there.
But he's bemused. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It worked for me, and it really worked for everybody else, too, because it was huge.
Wow.
Huge WrestleMania.
My
grandma cared immensely. She asked me about it every day. Is Donald going to get shaved? I don't know, Granny. I guess not. Can I watch the pay-per-view with you? Well, we're going to Puyallup. It's a long drive. And I think she actually ended up going to Admin Tony's house, and he bought the pay-per-view, and she watched the hair match.
Sweet.
Yeah, so there's an extra buy right there for you.
Exactly.
Just because of Donald Trump.
Yeah, they got Granny to finally watch pay-per-view. That's pretty cool. Heart Nation, have you heard about this?
I have.
Horrible idea. It's a new reality TV show currently in the development stage, starring the ex-wife and children of Bret Hart. Now, if you'd seen Beyond the Mat, you would know exactly who we're talking about. Bret's wife, that was the wife that was going to be in this.
Hunter.
Right. That was going to be in this reality show. That was the wife, same wife from Beyond the Mat and Children. But I don't see any. How are they going to get Bret Hart into this whole thing? You know what I mean?
Well, they're not going to get like, Bret Hart.
I know. It's
going to be. It's going to be Julie and Bret's kids. And I know people that are close to the Harts,
mm-hmm.
and even they've said, who would ever watch this show?
Exactly.
And it's I don't see it really going anywhere. I don't think anything will actually ever come of this. Jade Hart is a very attractive young lass. So, I mean, there's something that can be done marketably with her. But the rest of them, I don't know.
Maybe they could follow Jade in her bid to become a pro wrestler.
If they got Teddy Hart, we'd be talking.
Exactly.
But they don't have him, I don't think. I don't think they now that I think about it.
Instead of Hart Knows Best, it would be Hart Don't Care.
Hart Knows Worst.
It would just be Teddy just browbeating
being fired
everybody.
Repeatedly.
Yes.
And doing flips.
The Observer is reporting that the latest regarding Lex Luger, and I guess most of you guys know that it was on Friday morning that he, I guess, couldn't feel anything below his waist and went to the hospital. A lot of people thought it was going to be a heart attack or some sort of stroke. He was in San Francisco for the Wrestle Fan Fest convention. Now they're saying that it appears that he suffered a nerve impingement in his neck.
I heard back. The whole thing was all weird just because there were 8 million different stories. I think what actually happened was I don't think he was ever paralyzed. I think he lost feeling in his hands. That was what he was complaining about when they took him to the hospital. But it may have been neck or back or it was somewhere in there. Somewhere in his spinal column there was a nerve impingement. So he'll be fine, it appears. But it
scary
was very,
stuff.
Very scary situation at the time.
I had something like that happen once.
A nerve impingement?
Yes, I couldn't move my head at all, and it was like stuck in this weird position, and I couldn't move it for hours, and I had to go to hospital, and they just said that it was that and stress. So I was like all scared for
That's
nothing.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
I know, it was weird, and I wasn't...
Diet and stress, and they just said just walk around unmoving for a while?
They said it was some kind of nerve thing and caused by stress.
And it eventually just went away?
And it went away. They gave me muscle relaxer, and probably a few hours later, I was able to move it again. And then the next day, it was just sore. But it was weird, a whole weird thing. But that does bring up a good story and has been reported around the internet lately about the Wrestle Fan Fest convention in San Francisco.
Putting it lightly.
Yeah, I guess, and you would probably know more about this, that it was a complete disaster.
Sure.
People had more fun on the Titanic.
Till they hit the iceberg.
Is what I'm hearing. I guess a lot of the wrestlers' checks bounced. The promoter took off with all the money. Nobody could find him. Something about the cops were calling out. Tell me about this.
Well, another cheap plug. Head over to figure4online.com and sign up because I'm going to have a big article on it. And we've actually already got two shows up right now about FanFest, both about an hour long from people that were there, Keith Lipinski and Mike Lano. And I don't even know, without taking an hour, how to explain the whole thing, but people that have been to a lot of conventions said it was the worst convention there's ever been. Everybody's check bounced. Every wrestler that got a check had bounced.
Wow.
The checks written out to the hotel bounced. Promoters, MMA promoters and wrestling promoters all vanished. There was an MMA show that ended up getting canceled. There was a wrestling show that went on and an ROH show that ended up going on, and it was a 19,000-seat building and yet 300 people in there.
Oh,
and
my God.
Big, yeah, there were a lot of sad stories, mostly just because a lot of older wrestlers had never been treated so badly and they were devastated. So from that perspective, it was very sad. But there's part of me that just, God, I wish I would have gone. Just to be a part of such an epic disaster in every possible way to, I don't know, that would have been my thing, really.
It would be the defining moment in your career.
It would be up there, let me tell you.
To say that I was, remember that WrestleFanFest from 2000?
No one will ever forget this. This will never be forgotten. The Cow Palace Convention.
And there was, of course, one on a smaller scale a couple of weeks ago in Indiana that the same thing happened.
And above and beyond that, from people that ended up attending both.
Yeah, and pretty much the same thing happened. Some wrestlers didn't get paid. All of the independent guys didn't get paid. None of them got paid. Some of the big top stars did. But the promoter locked himself, and this is all hearsay, of course, but the promoter supposedly locked himself into the office, and he was supposed to be on the card that night, but never he wouldn't come out of the office and had guards surrounding the door.
Yeah.
So they couldn't get in. The wrestlers were trying to get paid. So as he was the promoter slash booker, nobody knew what was supposed to happen on this show, who was supposed to win and lose, things like that. So they just had to make it up. The show was halted after the fourth match by the building because they didn't get paid. They confiscated the promoter's ring, his belts, and anything of value that was left there. The hotel checks bounced. Some of the wrestlers were thrown out of their hotels. I mean, it was just and twice in a row.
Well, I gotta say this that I feel bad for these wrestlers, but at the same time, everybody knew this was gonna happen.
Right.
I mean, I knew months back that the chances of anything coming out of this, the chances of even occurring were so slim. And to me, here's a lesson to be learned for all wrestlers out there. There are some good people that run conventions. And they've run conventions for many, many years, and they've built up a track record.
Right.
This was a guy that had never promoted before,
mm-hmm.
that nobody could get a hold of,
right.
that nobody could get in contact with to find out if they were going to go, what the payment situation was, everything like that, that had rented out the Cow Palace, the Cow Palace.
Wow.
And, I mean, every single possible red flag that could possibly be raised came up here. And in a situation like that, you should know that there's a good chance you're going to get screwed. So I'm going to feel bad if this kills conventions for a period in the U.S. because, like I said, there are people that do run conventions and they're very successful and people make money and everything. Everybody gets paid and everybody's happy. So you just got to be wary of first-time promoters. I mean, that's the whole thing. And
yes.
And this was a first-time, never-done-it-before promoter.
I didn't know it was his first time. That I didn't know.
It wasn't his first time with fraud, but it was his first time promoting.
Right.
He has known aliases.
But when did wrestlers start taking checks anyway, is my question.
I don't know.
The
smart ones, there were some guys that got paid through various means. Like, Roddy Piper was given a check, and I guess he immediately tried to cash it and it bounced, and so he said, pay me in cash now or I'm going home.
Right.
Scott Norton strong-armed the guy, got his money in cash. Bubba Ray strong-armed the guy, got his money in cash. Goldberg got his money in cash somehow.
By looking at him funny.
Sure, probably. But, I mean, only about 30% of the guys even got a check.
Right.
So the rest of the guys got nothing.
Wow.
And, you know, there were guys that flew in, got off the plane, sat there and waited for him to show up, and the agreement had been, when you show up, you will have cash. He didn't have cash, so the guys got back on the plane, flew home. So there were some guys that knew the game. And there were some guys that really knew the game, like Hall and Nash and Dan Severn and the guys that canceled before they even bothered going out there. They knew in advance this was a failed attempt at whatever it was and just gave up.
Right. That's, oh, man. I didn't know about the San Francisco thing. I wasn't really sure how that whole thing was going to go, but I pretty much knew the Indiana show was going to be the disaster of that kind of level. But I know what's in these promoters' minds. Exactly. Both of these guys, when they did this, is we're going to get all these people to come down here. We're going to promise them stuff that we don't have. And then when 1,500 people show up, we're going to have the money to pay them. That's what's going to happen. And then that doesn't happen. And then you got a lot of trouble. And I know that I'm not saying this for a fact. Of course, this is my opinion. But I'm pretty sure that's exactly what was going through the guy's mind when he booked this convention.
Well, was may
that,
have been.
Was that he was going to get his money at the gate, and that's how he was going to pay everybody. Now, you know that I had promoted a show here in Indiana last year. It didn't go very well in the fact that a couple of people no-showed, but a lot of people didn't show up for the show, is what it was. But, and I can say this with pride, everybody got paid. The venue was paid before the day we got there. The wrestlers were paid. The big-name wrestlers that showed up were paid money orders, and they were given deposits. And then they were paid at the show. I did not make enough money at that gate to cover that show.
Welcome to promoting.
I lost a lot of money, but the people I hired to come there and wrestle got paid, and they were paid exactly what they said they were going to be paid.
Yep.
And I don't consider that a failure.
Well, I mean, there are good promoters out there, but they're idiots too.
Right.
So it's I don't want, you know, I hate for people to say all promoters are you know, whatever, and you can't trust any. There are some that you could trust, but there are also some that you can't. And
right.
And there should, if you see red flags, hey, think about it.
Exactly. Absolutely. What's this whole story? One more before we take a break here and get our first guest on. The Wrestling Observer's reporting that TNA Wrestling canceled its press conference on Friday at the last minute for the Arena Monterrey show.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, they're supposed to run in Arena Monterrey, and I don't know if they're going to do it. It's a big building.
Where exactly is Arena Monterrey?
Monterrey, Mexico.
Okay.
So it's a big building, and there's nothing listed on the Monterrey Ticketmaster site for the show. So it's I would not be surprised if the show were canceled, actually. But
right.
I guess we'll see.
When was it supposed to be?
Early December. I forget the date.
All right. So guys, if you were thinking
you're
about
in Mexico,
if you're thinking about crossing the border, and we do actually have people from Mexico to listen to the show.
Really?
From the country, yes.
Wow, I don't think I have anybody from Mexico to listen to any of our shows.
We have people in countries I've never heard of that write us and say, I listen to the show.
Wow.
And I had never heard of the country, so I feel...
Well, I demand somebody from Mexico sign up to my website so I can have one.
Somebody come on and say, I forgot how you say hi in Spanish. Isn't that sad?
Hola.
Yeah, say hola to Brian there. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, we got our first guest on. Ryan O'Reilly is going to be with us. Of course, he asked for his release a couple of weeks ago from WWE. He's the boyfriend of Chrissy Vane. We had Chrissy on last week to talk about that. But we're going to talk about Ryan tonight. We're going to get into this a little bit about why he asked for his release, things like that. But we're also going to be talking to him about developmentals, training, things like that. Stick around for that. In hour number two, Brian is going to be leaving us. He's got, of course, the big Figure Four newsletter to get out tonight. So he's going to have to get back to work. But Bill DeMott is going to sit in the co-host seat tonight during the second hour and join us for more talk. So we're going to take a break right now. We're going to get to our first guest. You're listening to Doc Young and my homie, Brian Alvarez, tonight on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WrestlingWeekly.com. We always have the scoop on the inside of professional wrestling.
Don't listen to me, people. You can find out for yourself right now at home.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yeah, yeah, baby, I know I'm hot and everything, but you just gotta check out wrestling-radio.com. They're hotter than ever before, with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, baby. I'm gonna go right to wrestling-radio.com to hear shows like Evan Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to wrestling-radio.com. Gotta log on to check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, wrestling-radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
Mr. Kennedy! Kennedy!
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Doc Young and Brian Alvarez back here with you on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, yeah, Les did have an emergency before the show. I'm sure he'll come on and explain it next week. Or this week, if he does get back before the show's over, he will join us. So we've got, of course, our first guest tonight. Mr. Ryan O'Reilly is here with us. Ryan, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Doc.
Ryan, we spoke with Quincy last week, but I want to get your side of the story of what went on here with you and Chrissy asking for your release.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of things. It really came down to the family issue, you know. Me not being so close to my father really didn't help the fact that he ended up having a stroke, and that was pretty much the icing on the cake. But what really, really did it in for me was the fact that a buddy of mine ended up getting, his girlfriend ended up getting into a car accident, and I actually had to take him to the hospital. And that right there, that's really what drew the line for me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just driving, trying to cheer him up, but the whole time I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, what if, you know, I'm overseas, or what if I'm on the road, and this happened to Kristen, you know? You can't just say, hey, you know, is it okay if I end up taking the time off and going home to see my girl? You know, because it's obviously it's a very mandatory job, and you have to do the best you can do. You know what I mean?
Right. You obviously, you know, you can't just ask for that.
Yeah.
You can, but you might not. You might not have a spot back when you get back there.
It's very competitive, of course.
Absolutely. So, with what is it that you're looking for right now out of your career? Is this like a temporary thing right now that you don't want to go on the road full time? Is this something that could change in the future?
Well, right now for me, you know, I don't know what Kristen said, but I know for me right now, this is more of a time off type thing for me. I don't want to get rid of wrestling because it's a passion and it's something I've worked hard at and I'm damn good at. And it's a love that I've always had. And right now, I want to get more family value set down. You know, of course, Kristen, you know, my fiance, and I really want to just get things worked out from that point, and then worry about what's after that. Because right now with wrestling, you just don't have the time for it. You know, it's such a busy schedule. You're always performing. You're always on your toes, and there's not a lot of time to be able to say, okay, well, listen, is it okay if I take the week off to plan out my wedding, or is it okay if I, you know, have some time off so I can take a honeymoon? You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is understandable. I mean, that's just my aspect on things, you know, when it comes to that.
But you definitely want to get back in.
Oh, man, it's I love it. I do. I really do. You know, I talked to John Laurinaitis, and I told him, you know, this is a passion, and once you're a wrestler, I mean, if you really, really love this business, it's not easy just to walk away from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is something that, you know, that I do want to stick with eventually, you know, down the line, you know, when the time's right for me and for her, you know, and we sat down and we've talked about this as far as, you know, my end goes. And she knows that, and, you know, the fans out there, you know, I've gotten a lot of calls about people asking me when I was going to come back, and I told them, I said, you know, when that time's right. But right now, it's, you know, there's other important things for family and my woman and things like that that I need to really, really focus on.
So
what about the idea of TNA?
TNA. You know, I've worked at that company before. I was enhancement talent, so to speak, and I had a great time there. I really did. I don't want to say no to TNA. You know, it's a possibility that I'd like to look into it, but, you know, WWE never treated me wrong either. You know, they're definitely a first-class company from top to bottom.
Right.
You know, and they've treated me with nothing but respect, and so did TNA. You know, so it's it's one of those things, you know.
Are you, you've been trained by some of the most notable trainers in the country. You've worked under Joe Hamilton, Bill DeMott, Norman Smiley. What's the difference between those three? Are there subtle differences in the trainings? Do they have different outlooks about wrestling?
Well, Norman Smiley, if anybody knows anything about Norman, Norman's very he's a very technical, you know, wrestler. He's got a way different style. He's very European. And a lot of that has to do with where he grew up at. Of course, as most people know, if they know him, that he grew up in Europe, of course. You know, Joe is very, very psychological. Same with Bill. They're very tell a story, make it make sense. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And all three of them, by far, are the best. You know, they really are incredible. And so is Tom Pritchard and Steve Kern. You know, let's not forget them.
Right.
You know, so.
What are your thoughts about the end of Deep South Wrestling? Because it came to a fiery end.
Yeah. Oh, God. That night when Deep South, when we got the news, you know, it crushed me. And a lot of it had to do with being the fact that I was an original. And when I say original, I mean there was only about 15, 16 people that were picked up from the get-go, from the beginning of Deep South. And I was one of those guys. I saw those walls built. I saw the floors put down, you know. And to see it just go, you know, it was rough. It was a lot to take in for me. I'd be lying if I said I didn't tear up, because I did. Because that was really where I began my professional career, as far as I'm concerned, as a wrestler.
Right. I've seen some of the Deep South shows though, on basic cable here. It looks like a cozy little building, though.
It was nice. You know, for me, it was home.
Mm-hmm.
It was. To me, honestly, it was home. And there wasn't one day I disliked that place, because, you know, when I was having hard times, whether it was at home, whether it was family problems, whatever it was, I knew that if I went there, it was kind of my escape. And it was something I could focus on, and I had the best people around me. I had some great friends there, and that meant a lot to me, you know. And to lose Deep South, it was a rough one, you know, but as we all know, life goes on.
Right.
Did you see the end coming?
No. Actually, no, I didn't see the end coming.
Just kind of blindsided you.
I got blindsided. I was actually sitting there, and the meeting, we were sitting all there. You know, we're all dressed up. We all came in. We all had a big meeting. And, you know, there were just some issues, which I really don't know exactly what happened, you know, but the point was is that they said, we're closing this developmental down, and my mouth dropped, because you knew right there something was going to change, you know, and the fact that, you know, we had to tear off, you know, the posters on the wall, we had to break down the ring, you know, that was a rough thing for me.
Wasn't it a deal where in the middle of the meeting the ring started being taken down?
No, not when I was there. I was there. I saw it. There was no ring being taken down during the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But then afterwards, they said take it down immediately.
Afterwards, we needed to clean the building out. But that's what had to be done. It's business. That's how things work.
Right. There's a, I guess, sort of an internet urban legend going on about your name, in that it was taken from the Irish gang leader on the HBO show Oz. Is that true or not?
No, actually, here's the reason why I got Ryan O'Reilly. My best friend, his last name was Glenn O'Day,
mm-hmm.
and he was someone who I always looked up to. He's such a great guy. And before I was doing wrestling, I was doing windows and doors. And I've always had this infatuation, because the fact that I am Irish and that my family did come from Ireland,
mm-hmm.
I always wanted to do an Irish character. You know, and I started thinking about myself, you know, going by the name of Ryan Payne, you know, isn't really the thing that I wanted to do. So I started really thinking, and I started saying Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly, that's catchy. It's flashy. And most people think, like, when they talk about my name, they talk about the O'Reilly factor, you know, mm-hmm. not as much as the whole Oz thing. So that really is just a legend, or it's a myth, or whatever you want to call it. It's just, it had nothing to do with Oz, because I never watched Oz.
Have you seen that show, Brian?
I've never seen Oz, no.
Okay. We got a question in the chat room from Braves Usher 220. He said, please ask Ryan what his favorite memories of Deep South were and the memorable fans he has.
Wow. You know, I really loved our fans, period, because they were so loyal. And I would have to honestly tell you, you know, every time that I walked out there, just to be able to perform for the fans, it was an honor. You know, so anytime that I got a chance to be part of the show, that was like my highlight. You know, that's what it meant the most to me. If there were days where I sat in the back and didn't do anything, it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it did. It sucked because I love being part of the show. I loved entertaining the fans, and it's just something that, you know, it's in my blood, and I can't help it.
So what's next for you? Are you taking a hiatus right now? Are you going to do local stuff?
I am going to do local stuff, and it's like, you know, a lot of promoters, if they want to hit our site, they're more than welcome to. It's at R&K Bookings, you know, with Yahoo, at RyanandChrissy.com. You know, they can definitely hit me up. I definitely want to do something as far as the indies go, and I just want to sit back and figure everything else out for now. But, you know, I've had a lot of offerings. You know, I've had people contact me, and, you know, and it's just one of those things where I need to sit back and just, you know, basically I'm on hiatus. I just wanted some time off is what I need more than anything.
All right. R&K Bookings at rnkbookings.com is what you said, right?
Yeah, or if you want to hit it's ryanandchrissy.com.
Are you still looking for a new webmaster for that website?
You know what? We've actually had a lot of people try to contact us,
mm-hmm.
and we've actually picked our people out. And I just want to thank everybody personally right now for it. Everyone got back with us, and it was great.
Excellent.
It really was. It was awesome. I mean, everybody's been so cool, and me personally, I want to thank everybody out there who jumped right on it. You know, and we had several people, and it really was. You know, it was an honor to have them be able to want to help us out. But we do have everything taken care of right now.
All right, so we're going to see that launch pretty soon.
It should be up actually tonight if they check it out.
Excellent. RyanandChrissy.com, guys. Ryan, best of luck to you. And thanks for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Good luck to you, buddy.
All right. Take care.
Ryan O'Reilly, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. Ryan, it's almost that time for you and I to part ways for the evening.
That's right. It's very sad.
What do you got coming up tonight?
I've got to finish this newsletter and out. Got to finish a Cow Palace report, actually.
that big story.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, check it out. Of course, give me your website there, f4wonline.com.
Yep, you can head to figure4online.com. All the information is up there about pretty much everything. Got some free radio shows and news updates and everything of that nature. And, of course, check out Death of WCW, book I wrote. Haven't plugged that one for a while.
No, you haven't.
It's Wrestling Observer Live on Sunday nights on Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 122. Link up at our website as well. And we do that every Sunday night now.
Who's going to be your guest this weekend? Do you know?
I have no idea. I think Lance is going to be the guest host. So.
Ah, okay.
That should be fun.
Check that out, guys. And of course, visit Figure 4 Online daily, guys. All the good news from Brian there. Brian, thanks for being on the show. We're going to take a break, so hang on with us during the break here. And we're going to come back. Bill DeMott's going to join us. I'm going to do a quick one-on-one with him, and we're going to talk about news, Bill and I, for the rest of the program. Hang in there. It's Doc Young here on Wrestling Weekly.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures, you can obtain your need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
MadManiacs.com.
here's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yeah, yeah, baby, I know I'm hot and everything, but you just gotta check out Wrestling-Radio.com. They're hotter than ever before, with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, baby. I'm gonna go right to Wrestling-Radio.com to hear shows like Heaven Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to Wrestling-Radio.com. Gotta log on and check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, Wrestling-Radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-Radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
Mr. Kennedy! Kennedy!
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong. All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is really cool music we're coming back to. Doc Young, alongside joining me in the guest chair tonight, it's going to be an interview slash co-host thing. Bill DeMotta is with us. Of course, everybody knows Bill's former WWE, WCW star. Hugh Morris was one of his more famous gimmicks. Bill's with us. Bill, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, man.
Doc, I appreciate you having me. This is a big seat to fill tonight, I guess.
Yes, you were in Les Thatcher's seat there.
I don't mind sitting next to Les. I don't know if I can fill in for him, though.
Well, you certainly can't do any worse than Brian Alvarez. We just got rid of him.
No, I don't know how to take that. I don't know what that means.
Brian's a good guy. He's a Figure Four Weekly.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
He's I watch him on Nancy Grace often.
Ah. See, that's what's good about me. I have a face for radio, so you never have to watch me.
Exactly. So, Bill, God, this is your first time on the show.
This is my first time.
I guess we've been doing the show for quite a while, but you were always in the under WWE contract at the time. What happened with that?
I tell you, I hear that a lot from a lot of people. I mean, after, I don't know what it's been, 8 years or something, the last 2 years, I was with Deep South Wrestling. I was doing the developmental system there. And I think, I just think the internet and some in-house gossip got the best of me. And, you know, in this business, someone's got to take the fall, and before it becomes a head guy, you know, crap rolls downhill and Bill DeMott's the catcher. So, I mean, it was, it's wrestling. It's no big deal. That's what I tell all my guys and anybody who's ever trained with me or been on the road with me for the past 20 years. It's wrestling, you know, so you always got to expect it. You just never think it might happen. But, hey, you know.
It's sort of like, you know, in baseball with the managers, do you think?
Yeah, I think I did some kind of I answered 20 questions from Italy or something right after that, and I compared it to Bill Parcells, where at the same time, right in January, where Bill Parcells was getting a load of crap and Bill DeMott was getting the same load of crap just from two different companies, and you know, Bill Parcells produced winners and champions, and in my record of training over the past couple of years, I've done the same. I put out more guys from Deep South in the year and a half, 2 years that we were open and running, than anybody can then put a thumb to. So
we just had, and of course, as you said, you were training for quite a while over there in Deep South. We just got off the line with one of your students, Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, there's another. I mean, there's a 4-hour interview right there, isn't it? How's Ryan doing?
He's doing well. He came on to talk about the release. Had a lot of personal reasons for it. He's going to be doing some local stuff for a while,
yeah.
and take it easy for a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, he's really into it. And, what kind of student was he when he first came in? Was he not able to put one foot in front of the other? How far has he come, really?
I hate to say it because anyone who's been in wrestling, if they were lucky, they came in through an independent area. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I was from New York, New Jersey, so I came in with that ICW, NCW little click there. And Ryan came from the same thing in Florida. And he's a hell of an athlete and a great-looking kid. He just didn't, you know, there's no fundamentals being taught. It's just, okay, jump off the ropes and learn some really cool stuff and do something that someone else does on TV. But Ryan came in hungry. He competed with everybody every day on a work basis, you know, who could stay with it, who could hang. And Ryan, by all means, could hang. And, with just getting released or asking for his release, and I talked to him. Matter of fact, we just emailed the other day. I told him I'm not sure I understand it, but I wish him well. But I always go back and I talk to my wife about this all the time. I don't think any of this stuff would have happened if Deep South was still up and running here in McDonough, Georgia, because I went out of my way to take care of my guys. And if there was problem, you know, it's just things come around. But I think that's part of being a trainer or a talent scout or something. If you, especially in this business, you have to look out for the business. You have to look out for the kid you're training. You can't just shut the door on them after 6 hours a day and you know, kick him to the curb and then start up again.
All right.
But Ryan's a great kid. I wish him well. He's got all the tools. It's a waiting game. I tell him that all the time in wrestling. He's young enough where hopefully the door is not completely shut for him somewhere down the road. And he'll be in good shape no matter what he does.
Now, what do you think caused the end of Deep South? I know it was a big surprise to a lot of people.
I think it was just internal combustion. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stories that could probably help the reasoning. But you put the WWE and you put Jody Hamilton and you put Bill DeMott in there and you put all these things. I mean, it's just a constant turmoil. And then the change of the guard from Tommy Dreamer to that, you know, know-all, tell-all Simon Dean, who, you know, didn't help the situation, well, as head of development or anything else. That's another story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things started to come around, and Joe Hamilton, being in the business 50 years, he's set in his ways. And, you know, I kind of played mediator between WWE and Deep South, and I knew that going in. That was my job. I just think I think the wrong people were being listened to, and I'm talking about talent that was getting paid to learn something,
mm-hmm.
that were crying the blues, and it turned out that all the talent doing the complaining has been fired.
Was this about, because I know there were reports saying, you know, Bill's being too hard on us and he's running us too hard. Was that whole thing?
Yeah, it was, you know, I say with a little comedy to it, it was very hard to have to be there 3 hours a day.
Right.
I mean, if your biggest complaint was, Bill has me working 12 hours a week and you're paying me for it, I could be bowling, doing my nails, shopping, lifting weight, anything else, but why should I have to be there 12 hours a week?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you look Vince McMahon or John Laurinaitis, for that matter, in the face or on the phone and say, I'm being asked to do too much 3 hours a day.
Right. If Les was here right now.
I mean, and Les knows, because Les, I went through with Les in HWA. I had the pleasure of training guys with Les up in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the same guy then as I am now, and I'm the same guy, you know, 20 years ago that I am now. I don't come from, okay, you're getting paid for it, but let's work for it.
All right.
You know, and be prepared here for what you're going up for. And it turns out that all the bitching and complaining by girls and quote-unquote men,
mm-hmm.
they've all been released. So was it really what I was asking them to do and demanded, or the fact that, you know, in the order of things when you give your consultation on each talent, was I right? But I can't be right if so many people are complaining.
Right.
You know, human resources and the politically correct. I mean, let's face it, the one thing I'm not is politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
But all of it came true, and you know, my wife and I giggle about it now. But the first month or so, it's kind of upsetting.
Right, you have to look for a whole new job.
You know, after 20 years, you don't walk into IBM and go, "Hey, I'm qualified."
Right.
You know, you're not going. And the funny thing is, you even walk into Walmart to try to get a job, and they go, "What have you been doing?" Well, I'm Hugh Moore. Oh, I knew who you were. Well, shit, you can't work at Walmart. You know what I'm saying? You know what? In reality, I probably couldn't, but I think I'm going to have to need to.
Right.
So, you know, at 20 years, I kind of like to think I know what I'm doing. I got my thumb on the pulse in this business, and my wife has just opened a, you know, we opened an independent company, and we're going to try to get that up and running.
Mm-hmm. That's what is this, the new company?
The new company is called New Energy Wrestling. It's my wife actually opened it because, you know, she, besides being a fan and then being married to probably the biggest bad guy in the business, according to the internet and a lot of people involved in it, you know, this is what I do, and I've been successful at it for 20 years. I don't know how many guys my age can say they've had 20 years in this business. I mean, the Hogans and Flairs aside, you know, 20 years is a heck of a run, and I'd like to keep it going by bringing the next generation of guys in. So we opened New Energy Wrestling. We're currently looking for a building. We're looking for a great training center and hopefully get some independent shows running and get these guys out here doing what they do best and just doing it great.
Excellent.
Just like everyone else, we want great. I think that's my downfall is I want what's best for everyone, and I try to bring it out of them.
Right. Are you gonna run this promotion with new young guys, or are you gonna try to mix some older, more experienced guys in? How's this gonna work?
Well, there's a whole bunch of guys. I mean, we're here in Georgia, and it's a whole bunch of local guys that have had experience that nobody knows, so they're all gonna be considered new. But, you know, just like any other independent show, if I can say it like that, you want to bring in a named guy to draw some, you know, to bring it creatively so people come in and you know, they see, let's say, Booker T or Maven sells a Buff Bagwell, guys like that, so people get a gist for it. And then I want these young guys to steal the show and people come back to see them. That's what we did with Deep South, was no one knew who Mike Knox was, who the Jim and I were, who High Impact, who Angel Williams. No one knew them, and within a month, they were household names in this area, and the TV was great, and the shows were great, and I you know, for the sake of sounding conceited, I'm good at that, you know. Mm-hmm. I know what they can do, and I know how they're going to get people interested in what they do.
Now, do you get MAV TV down there?
Yeah, you know, I was just talking to my brother about an hour and a half ago about MAV TV, and he called to say that I was on TV in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen it, but you know, that's over a year ago we did that, and apparently MAV is running the, is it Learning the Ropes? Was that the correct title of it?
I'm not sure exactly.
But is that what you were talking about? They're running the show we did.
They're still running episodes of the weekly program on
That's
MAV TV.
Tremendous.
As far as MAV TV is concerned, it is the middle of 2006. I'm serious. I was watching MAV TV, and they still, every Wednesday, they usually twice at some point in the middle of the night, they show a Deep South show.
Is that right?
And then I saw Chrissy Vane on Women's Extreme Wrestling.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so it was, they're stuck in a time warp over there, but it's still cool to watch.
Great, yeah. I think that was another one of the problems, I think, internally with Deep South, was MAV TV came up and said, wow, you know, and the guy who produced it, one of the cameramen, Ed, who's a terrific guy, who came and said, my sons love the show, we'd like to do a show with you guys. Well, Jody Hamilton got it okayed with WWE, that took off, and then there's some things with Canada, and everybody in the world was contacting Deep South wanting the show.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's bad business to be popular, or at least that's what was told to Joe. And, you know, and then things, disagreements, and this guy did this, and this guy did that, and I think that's what it was all about. But the bottom line is, you know, we're always, whoever opens for developmental with WWE is going to compare it to OVW.
Right.
And Danny Davis is a great guy. I love Danny. I had the opportunity of working there for over a year with his kids, and it's great. The thing with Deep South was we did more in the year and a half of actually up and running than what was predicted, and I think they were afraid that Joe was running with the ball, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing his own thing at WWE's expense. So I think, you know, I don't know, hearsay and stuff like that, but we were popular. We did well. We were all up and going. And, you know, they came in the middle of the night and took Deep South away. I'd already been released from my contract by then, so I really didn't know what happened.
All right. Now, let me get a question from the chat room here about this first. Braves Usher, he's asking if it's going to be if New Energy Wrestling is going to be in the McDonough area.
Yeah, McDonough was where Deep South was originally,
right
outside south of Atlanta. And, yeah, that's where, like I said, my wife has been looking into it. We're actually looking to try to get in the same building that Deep South was in. You know, it's taken a lot of work, and we're actually looking for some sponsors because of the area we're in. It's not like a low-budget place, and we don't want to just have a warehouse shed and a ring in it. We want a training facility, professional training facility, where guys are going to come and be there 5 and 6 days a week. And, yeah, hopefully we're in the McDonough area. That's what we're shooting for, because we had a great fan base there. And the people here in Georgia, they love wrestling, and they love the style of Deep South wrestling. And that's what we're hoping New Energy brings.
Excellent. Do you have a website for that yet? Or
Right now we're on MySpace. That's we're kind of doing a little bit of our business on MySpace, and we're looking. Hopefully, we'll have our website in the next month or so.
Excellent.
But it's in MySpace / Bill DeMott, and then you'll always read about the new energy business and things like that.
Now, in 2003, you retired from active wrestling and joined Josh Matthews for Velocity. What led to your retirement as far as the physical part of the wrestling?
What led to me retiring was I didn't retire. I when I broke my neck, I'd gone through a bunch of red tape with the person in developmental at the time or the guy who was running it, and I saw six doctors and six different guys, and they all had the same result. We need to fix them, and well, if you get fixed, you're going to be out of commission, and then we'll probably have to let you go. You know, it's always that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, well, you know, I'm ready to get back in the ring. Well, I got my neck fixed, and the next day, you know, I was on Velocity, and he said, we have something for you. We want to make you the Howie Long of WWE. And I said, well, you know, I'd really rather be wrestling. And they said, we don't want to take the chance. I said, okay, whatever. And I partnered up with Josh. I never officially retired. And I looked at it as kind of moving up another notch in wrestling because, you know, a lot of guys wrestle 5 or 6 years, you never hear from them again.
Right.
And through my 20 years, I've gone from in-ring to behind-the-scenes to trainer to commentator to developmental trainer to talent scout. You know, I've been lucky enough where it's a never-ending cycle, and I've always moved up. I always compare it to Taz from in-ring to one of the best commentators in the business. There's always room for a guy who loves the business and wants to be part of it, and I embraced Velocity the same way I did in the ring. And I think we did a hell of a job for the 13 months I did it. I enjoyed it. I enjoy putting the guys over instead of talking about wrestling. I like talking about the guys. And Josh Matthews was a hell of a leader. He really helped me out there.
EITNA fan says, and I don't know if this is a fair question or if you agree with it or not, but he says, why was Josh Matthews such a bad commentator?
I didn't think Josh Matthews was a bad – I think he had his moments where I think Josh had his moments of wanting to be in the ring himself because Josh is a hell of an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Josh was a good wrestler. He's a good little worker.
He was a tough enough
And he stayed in the business because he loves the business.
Right.
I think Josh did a heck of a job with any announcing. He did a lot of the pay-per-view events and things like that. And Josh is very knowledgeable. So I think at certain times, whoever checked in, Josh's character, if you will, was supposed to be annoying, was supposed to be, you know, that all-information-yet-annoying kind of kid. And he did it well. But I thought Josh was great. I had a lot of fun with him.
My favorite Josh moment is when The Undertaker possessed him.
But you see, it's not far-fetched because Josh is a little screwy like that.
It was great. And I think that was my favorite season of Tough Enough, too, is the one where Josh was on it. And
Maven
and Chris Nowinski,
yep.
All them guys. That was my favorite season.
All a good group of kids. Josh is just great. I love Josh. He was good to me. And I learned a lot from him in that time, too.
Now, right before you joined Josh on Velocity, they had this gimmick where you would come out and you would tell jokes before your matches.
Yeah.
Whose idea was this?
I had a meeting with Vince McMahon that Vince called for. And he sat and he professed his thoughts on what he has never seen in wrestling, has been a guy who comes out having fun. Telling jokes, mixing it with the people, enjoying himself, and then turning into a madman.
Okay.
So I looked at Vince, and I think it was Jerry Briscoe at the time sitting in there. I said, so he's kind of humorous. And I guess it went over Vince's head,
ding,
and he didn't
ding,
understand
ding.
Where I was coming from. So, my next friend, what kind of humor? You know, knock-knock jokes or anything like that. I'm game for anything.
Right.
Anybody who walks around with the name Hugh G. Rection cannot, you know,
right.
Not the game for anything. So I went out and got knock-knock jokes. And the very next night, I came out and told a knock-knock joke. And the whole arena, I said, knock-knock. The whole arena screamed back, who's there? I said, I'm screwed. Because that gimmick was getting over.
Right.
and that's the end of it. I mean, you were given another, you know, you were dealt another hand. I took it and ran with it because that's what wrestling is. You can't get offended. You can't, you know, get mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I told knock-knock jokes, and I had success with that. So that kind of ended abruptly as well. So, you know, but it was funny to hear him say, you know, nobody ever has fun, and then kind of gets mad and then goes back to having fun.
Right.
Like, I was going to suggest calling myself Hugh Morris, but I figured that would never work.
Right.
No, nobody would ever catch on to that.
Miss Destiny says, do you own an iPod? And if so, what's in it?
Yes, my wife got me an iPod. I had a trip earlier in the year to Australia. In my iPod, I have everything from Wayne Newton to the Scorpions, to Metallica, to Frank Sinatra. I'm a huge Elvis fan, so half my iPod's taken up by Elvis. I probably have things on there that people would go, how is this big, fat, old guy listening to this kind of music? I have an eclectic taste in music.
A little bit of everything.
I have a little bit of everything.
Swag says, do you know any TNA wrestlers? If so, who are they, and how are they?
I think I know a few of them.
I know.
I probably know them for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're all doing good. I don't know for sure. I talk to a chosen few whenever I get the opportunity. I just was on the phone with Devon Dudley yesterday. Or can I call Brother Devon or whatever I can call him? But I say Devon Dudley because that's what I know him as.
Right.
So I was talking to Devon. I get the opportunity to catch up with a lot of the guys, and they're all doing great. I mean, wrestling's one big circle. It's just different companies.
Right. Double T says, who came up with the General Erection gimmick?
The pay-per-view escapes me. Scott Steiner, Kansas City. Booker T had a concussion and could not wrestle. Vince Russo came up to me with a piece of paper and said, we'd like you to say this tonight. And I said, I'm not even doing anything. He said, yes, you are. And we're going to change your name and read the paper. And he walked away. And I introduced myself as Hugh G. Rection. And that's how I actually wrestled that night for the United States title against Scott Steiner, which I still think I feel is one of my better matches, especially not knowing going into a pay-per-view, but and then it became Captain Rection, and then I was General Rection. So for a little while, I was stuck with Hugh G. Rection. I had to explain that to my mother and my kids, and then thank goodness at least General Rection was more passable.
Right.
I lost a lot. The funny thing about that name was they WCW told me that's why I had no merchandise, because they couldn't put it out there and make it fan-friendly. I said, that's why?
That's funny.
So, you know, Hugh G. Rection didn't have any dolls made, and General Rection, you know.
I knew it was Russo. I just knew it.
It was Vince, and
do you just figure that Vince was like, well, in fifth grade, this was really funny. We should put it on the show tonight.
And the thing was, I said, you know, how long, either the first thing you say when you go out and say your name, I wonder how many guys you actually could have convinced to say that in the first place.
Right.
And to go along with that character. So I always say, you know, he was smart. It's always a test in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And if that didn't happen, and if I didn't do that in a General Rection and we came up with the Misfits, then I might have had a mediocre career. But everything's a test in wrestling. And that's what going back to Ryan O'Reilly and all my guys, I always tell them that. Everything's a test. You gotta roll with it. And, you know, the one thing I don't have is an ego, so my ego didn't come into play. I said, okay, I'll do it because I just want to wrestle.
Right.
So, and any opportunity someone said, okay, you can wrestle, but, you know, you've got to have rubber bands in your beard, and you got to have earrings. Okay, I'm in. You know, you got to be called Hugh G. Rection. Okay.
So how did the whole the Hugh Morris start?
I came into WCW as the man of question.
Right.
And that's the way it stayed for a little bit. And then I believe it was Terry Taylor's wife at the time said, and watched a couple of my promos and some of my interviews I did at CNN, and said he's very humorous. And Terry came back with it, and it was humorous. That's what it was supposed to be, humorous. But David Penzer and Tony Schiavone and those guys split it into Hugh Morris. And I didn't understand it. And I said, if I don't understand it, how are the people going to understand it? So then it became the laughing man, Hugh Morris.
Right.
But the name was originally supposed to be Humorous, just one name.
Right.
And it just.
I think it actually took me about 6 months to get it.
It took me three before I questioned why. I said, you know, I don't understand Hugh Morris. And they sat me down, just like I explained it to you, and they explained it to me. I said, oh, okay. I'm still not sure I get it, but okay.
And the no laughing matter.
I've always been kind of creative that way, and the moonsault was no laughing matter. There was something else was the last laugh. I had one clothesline that was called the punchline, and you know, it's wrestling, and if you're a fan of it, you're always thinking about your gimmick and people around you. So no laughing matter. I mean, the fact that a 350-pound guy was landing on your chest. It's nothing to laugh about.
Mm-hmm.
So that it just kind of stuck, and the more it was said, and the more people got a hold of it, it just stuck. So
was the whole Misfits in Action stable sort of a nod to like the DX Army?
It was a rib.
Mm-hmm.
It was a legitimate going back to I think when the first Eric Bischoff was back in the picture, and he called us a bunch of misfits that he didn't know what to do with. And it was a shoot, you know, because Bill DeMott, you know, Hugh Morris, Chavo Guerrero, Lash LaRue, who was greener than goose shit at the time,
mm-hmm.
Hammer, who they couldn't find anything for, who had been in the company for 10 years before that, you know what I mean? And you're a bunch of misfits. You're expendable. And we couldn't call ourselves the Misfits at the time because Jerry Only and the Misfits were with WCW.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with the Misfits in Action, MIA. And that's when it geared everything towards Army, Navy, you know, Marines, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it started out just like Hugh G. Rection. It started out as, you know, as a rib on us and kind of a test. Either these guys are going to make it work, because I think creatively they were like, we don't even need to make this work. It's a fart and we'll move on. And, you know, we turned out to be four guys and a girl who turned out to be a pretty good little click in there. And yeah, it was compared to DX, which is a big, you know, it's got to be a feather in your cap to be compared to, at the time, mainstream players, and here we are four nobodies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the Misfits were great.
Miss Destiny asks, what was your favorite gimmick that you did out of all of them, and why was it your favorite?
I've only had one gimmick in 20 years, and that was Crash, the Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was in Japan and Mexico and Puerto Rico. And I certainly have one gimmick because Hugh Morris is Bill DeMott.
Right.
That's my personality. That's my demeanor. The General Rection was just a name change of Hugh Morris, which came, you know, it came back to Hugh Morris after Rection. So the names were different, but I've only had one gimmick, and that's when I had my face painted. And let's face it, it was a knockoff of the Road Warriors at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I always go back and say, I've only had one gimmick, and then I've been lucky enough to be myself for the rest of the time. Just a few different nicknames, if you will.
Chris the Crusher says, it's kind of a odd question, but he says, when you talk to the wrestlers, do you call them by their real names or their ring names?
It depends on who I talk to.
Yeah.
And how friendly we are. I don't have any issues with anybody I could ever think of, but there's some guys you're just comfortable calling by their first name, and it, you know, depends on how well you know them outside of the business and everything. It's just what makes people comfortable. I know for a long time people thought my name was Hugh, so you just go with that,
right?
And you know, and some people, and that's when someone calls me Bill, I have to do a double take, like, are you talking to me? I guess it matters. It only matters on who you're dealing with. You know,
did I'm it sure. ever offend you if like, say, during your Hugh Morris days, somebody one of the fans would call you Bill, someone that didn't know you?
I can't remember ever hearing my name being called. Everything was Hugh. I mean, I had family members after a while because it was constant. I mean, 285 days a year you're on the road, Hugh becomes your name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, I remember teasing Chavo about it because people were calling him Loco and he got pissed. You know, but it just depends on like I call Chavo by his real name. Everybody calls him Chavo, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess it just depends on your relationship with the guy.
Did you see Raw last night with the Candace incident?
No, I didn't see it. We were driving back from Florida, but I caught up on it today. And I, at first, you know, being in wrestling, you're like, wow, what a great bump. Good girl. Because you think everything's part of something.
Right.
And it turns out she broke her collarbone or something, right?
Her clavicle.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. See, a lot of people were debating live while it was going on. Is this real? Is this not? And I guess one of the people that were saying that this was staged was because they were showing replays and because it took so long for them to actually get a stretcher out. But if they went back and they looked at it, you could see when she went down, you could see that look of terror on Beth's face. The referee not completely knowing what to do at all. And you can actually hear him say, pull her out and pin her, it's over.
Holy cow.
And so, and I don't know if they didn't think that the neck might be a problem, but we were talking about this earlier on the show, is that, you know, if you think somebody's injured your neck, you shouldn't drag them by their arms to the middle of the ring to pin them.
I you know, being on the other end of that, my last match was in Corpus Christi against Sean O'Hare, and when everything snapped and my arms and legs went, they were asking me what to do. I said, you know, you got to beat me. So, I got drugged into where everybody could see it happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody thinks of that. Being wrestling, and I'm not saying it's probably football and everything else, you know, they always go, okay, if you can move, get him up. So I'm sure they didn't move her at the sake of her safety.
Mm-hmm.
But, neck injuries and stuff like that, you're not supposed to move them. I think it's tremendous. I remember when Candace started and everybody complained about how this girl gets TV time and, oh, she's brutal this and brutal that. The girl's becoming quite good in the ring, you know?
Yeah.
She's not afraid to take chances and things like that. And I think she's gotten very good over the past year or so. It's a shame that she got hurt. But as one of the boys, I kind of popped for the fact that she was up doing something like that, you know?
Right.
And I hope she gets better, but I respect someone who's going for it and, you know, does it. And it's a shame she got hurt, and she'll be back in no time, and she'll probably be back with, and unfortunately, it makes you more competitive getting hurt. It makes you want it that much more.
And it makes the fans miss you while you're gone and cheer a little bit louder when you get back.
And unfortunately, as Candace will find out now, unfortunately, that's the only time off you get.
Right.
Is when you're hurt. So, you know, after the first week of, oh, damn it, I'm not on TV, the second week is like, wow, this milkshake tastes pretty good.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully she enjoys a little bit of time off, but hats off to her for doing it and finishing the match. The golden rule is you finish the match.
Right.
So, you know, good for her. And
well, they have this whole, you know, and I guess it was something that was started a few years back when a lot of people started comparing wrestling to MMA, but the knockout victories in wrestling.
Right.
You remember when somebody would get knocked out, they would call it a TKO, they would call it. In hindsight, of course, you know, when it happens, of course, you're not thinking all these things through. You just do what you got to do. But in hindsight, that would have been a pretty good idea, was to just call it TKO.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It wouldn't be a bad thought. I've been involved in a couple of those, and it would have been a great thing to keep going. Unfortunately, probably creative team thought it didn't work, or, you know, and it was kind of just pushed it aside.
Yeah.
Like everything else, and for whatever reason, but that'd be a good thing to bring back.
Do you think this whole story, and I guess this came out a few months ago, is that the referees were instructed to treat these matches like they were real. In the fact that if somebody does not break by the count of five, you disqualify them no matter what.
Absolutely.
And the whole thing that really got me, which I thought was a great idea, of course it does ruin some storylines if something goes wrong. And you saw on ECW it happened quite a bit when they first implemented the rule. I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
Right.
But then they started instituting fines for the referees for not following this instruction.
Legitimate fines,
yes.
Too. I know a whole bunch, and two of my guys are up there that were in Deep South, and you know, we train the referees the same as you train the wrestlers. And I think that the downside to the referees treating it like it is real, quote-unquote, is the fact that you're probably looking for more now than you would have before.
Right.
You might be a little bit too involved, so I think it's a fine line they walk. But, as a wrestler, if I'm going to get fined for something that happens, whether it's wrong, accidental, or just blatant for being a schmuck or whatever reason, then the referees might as well be in the same category. I like the fact that you have to be smart. You know, to make it believable, it's got to be believable. So for me to, disobey a referee, then unless that's my persona, and I think that's what happens in certain matches and stuff, mm-hmm. you're not going to get Umaga to, clean break.
Right.
So but I like, I'm getting off of it a little bit, but I like the fact that the referees are being treated that way and that they have to pay attention,
Do you think that... Do they still do this? Do you know?
I hear from the guys on the road in times that this guy got fined and how pissed off so and so is. So I know that fines are still levied. I'm not sure if there's that much emphasis put on it anymore, but I think they will call them out on blatantly just phony crap.
Right. I think it was a big story for about 4 or 5 weeks,
yeah.
and then no one ever heard of it again.
There was a lot of money being dished out by the refs, and they're not, as far as I know, they're still not paid like some of the wrestlers. So for them to be fined $500 in one night or $1,000 on a trip, you're taking money out of their mouth. So all of a sudden they're going to start becoming a little more serious as well. But all those refs, they're all good cats. They all do a good job. So
what do you think about ECW? I guess the news just came out today that Sci-Fi is going to renew the show.
I'm kind of torn on it because I'm wondering if they're going to sign it, that they're going to let it ride a little bit on its own, because I know they're bringing the SmackDown stars into it.
Right.
I don't know if it's set to fail or what the case is, but good for them. The more guys up and working, the better. It, brings more guys up and the possibility of going to Raw, SmackDown, Switch. And, that's not a bad idea. I would like to see those guys become their own little group.
Right.
Because if you look on the website, they have 10 people on their roster and everybody else has 42. So.
Right.
And they have enough cats, enough talent in the developmental to make a whole roster on ECW and really take off.
Right. I think the whole problem is they have, a conflict of interest with being on these networks.
Exactly.
And this is what me and Les have been talking about on the show for a couple of weeks, is that, the networks want the ratings. They want, they want those advertising dollars.
Right.
And that's all they get.
Right.
Now, the wrestlers, they have to sell their pay-per-views. They have to sell the merchandise. Things like that. So somehow you've got to meet in the middle with, especially, the big news with Bonnie Hammer from USA sending ideas in and things like that.
Right.
She doesn't care about the merchandising or the pay-per-views.
Right.
She wants big ratings on USA. Sci-Fi wants big ratings on Sci-Fi.
Right.
Things like that. And I think the only reason, and this is just my opinion, but I think the only reason Sci-Fi renewed is because they brought these SmackDown stars.
And it could be because now I think a lot of people looked at ECW as a televised farm league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of the Canes and the guys like that who make their appearances, it's probably a reason why they did sell it. Because let's face it, Raw and SmackDown, they're successful. I don't think everybody completely understands they're all three the same company, but.
Right.
I think there's a lot of levity to, a lot of truth to the fact that because of Kane and certain guys, like when Lashley came over and all the guys like that, it made it legitimate. And you're right. They don't care about wrestling or the stories or the characters. It's just bringing the revenue.
Yeah, I can completely see, Sci-Fi saying, hey, you got these guys on UPN, you got these guys on Raw. You're getting good ratings over there. Why are you giving us these numbers?
Right.
Get some of that. And I'm sure UPN or the CW now. The CW is the same way. Why don't we have, the big Raw stars? Why isn't Cena on the CW? And now you're starting to see a little bit more of some of these guys coming to Raw, SmackDown guys coming to Raw guys coming to SmackDown.
Right. The only thing that kind of stinks in the wrestling standpoint is, again, you're seeing the same six guys on every show now.
Right.
Sooner or later, I mean, just like anything else, unless you let these cats play, they're never going to get recognized. Unless you let these cats do what they do 200 nights a week, no one's ever going to realize who they are. You know, until the Majors brothers are on TV steady, no one's really going to care about them. They're just good-looking kids who are exciting. And okay, but where's you know, you can watch Edge on all three shows, or Triple H, or Taker, or Kane, or all these guys. Then why am I watching, you know, all three when I can just watch one and wait for them to come back?
Yeah,
it's hard for wrestlers to understand television and ratings and sponsors and things like that. And you know what? They shouldn't have to, but in this business, you got to learn all sides of it. But as a wrestler, you're going, well, just give me a shot, and everybody will know who I am.
Yeah. One last news item, and then you and I are going to play. You have offered to fill Les' slot this week and play the pay-per-view prediction game with us.
I love that game.
It's awesome. And but I did want to find this out, if you'd heard anything about these conventions that have gone on in the last month that ended up being complete, total disasters for the wrestlers.
Yeah, there was one, you know, that's one of those things, hooray for me, because I didn't get hoodwinked or whatever, but a good friend of mine, Scott Norton, from what I understand, was out in the Cow Palace for the last Fan Fest or whatever it was. You know, and you're talking to these guys who are out there. Is that what you're talking about, where they go out and they book all these talents and no one shows up and all this other nonsense?
Yeah.
As a fan, I would find that freaking promoter and rip his hair out.
I think, I guess Brian said that Norton kind of did.
I think it was Steiner who went after him.
No, from what I heard, Steiner couldn't find him.
And then Norton got a hold of him.
But Norton did get a hold of him and supposedly got paid. I haven't talked to Scott, but we're gonna have him back on the show pretty soon.
Good
but we're gonna find out that story from him. But and what I told with Brian was this whole thing was that you know, it seems to me that these promoters are banking, you know, that they're gonna get these big stars and all these people are gonna come through the gate and then they're gonna use that gate to pay the wrestlers.
Right.
Business don't work like that.
No, it doesn't. I was fortunate enough when I was breaking in, a very good friend of mine, Bam Bam Bigelow, sat down with me on a bench in Elizabeth High School and told me, you get your money before you do anything.
Right.
And he said, I said, okay. And he said, I'm going to show you how to get your money. He just came back from Japan. The guy said he'd pay him at the end of the night. Bigelow went into the box office, took his money, and then went out and wrestled. And it was against me, so I was glad he felt better about it.
Right.
At the time. But, you know, I've been smart enough and dealt with enough people to know that you get paid in advance, but you always want to know how you're doing. How's the house and how's the, you know, the convention going to do and what can I do to make it better for you? But it's a shame that these guys are banking on all these people being there, like you said, and then the fans that are there are let down. The guys that are there are sour. And let's face it, professional wrestlers are just like anybody else. We're miserable bastards when we think we're getting abused or mistreated or set up to look like, you know, a fart in church.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys, you know, have been around long enough that when they go to a convention, they're expected, you know, they're going to be there for a couple X amount of hours and doing autographs, taking pictures and all this other stuff. So fans are let down, the boys are let down, and these promoters are walking away, when I'm pretty sure with a little chunk of change in their pocket.
Oh, yeah.
So,
because they're at least getting the gate of who did show up.
Right. And then the guys are leaving there empty-handed. And now, from what I understand, a lot of guys left fearing that their checks weren't going to clear.
Right.
So that's you know, it's one of those things where I've honestly never been a part of that, and I just think it stinks for guys that go through it.
So you weren't contacted to be at the San Francisco convention?
I was contacted to be in one, I think, I want to say in Vegas.
Okay.
And then I got an email from a guy who worked for the promoter and said, the guy's full of soup, don't show up.
I think I know who you're talking about.
So I'll leave.
I don't want to mention his name, but I think you and I have spoken to the same man.
So I was glad that someone gave me the heads up, but I'm from the school where if I don't have my, you know, whatever monies and everything's talked about in my travel to and from, you know, everything and guaranteed, that I don't show up anyway. But
right,
I've never been a part of that, and I'm fortunate enough to say I've never been a part of it yet. Knock wood. Norton takes that to heart, and he feels like he let the fans down and people that have, you know, supported him all these years, and he takes that personal. I think that's what pisses guys off like that, you know?
Right.
And it stinks.
Let's go ahead and play the game. We're gonna run out the rest of the show with this.
Okay.
Cyber Sunday, guys. It's of course this Sunday on pay-per-view. What we're gonna do is it's going to be a different kind of game because there's all these stipulations that people get to vote for, and we're going to pick first of all the stipulations and then the winner of the match, and see who gets the most points out of that. Let's go ahead and start with Rey Mysterio. He's going to be taking on Finley. This is a fans choose the stipulation vote that's going on right now at WWE.com. It's either going to be a stretcher match, a shillelagh match, or a no DQ. First of all, what kind of match do you think it's going to end up being?
I think it's going to have to go with no DQ.
Okay.
Because I think we've seen Mysterio on a stretcher, and I know the shillelagh is going to be there anyway.
I am going to go with you on that one. Let's say no DQ. And then Rey Mysterio versus Finley. Definitely, I have to go with Ray.
I'm going with Finley.
All right. All right, next up is MVP. Taking on Matt Hardy. Again, this is a choose the stipulation. It's going to be either a wrestling match, a boxing match, or an MMA match.
I'm going to go with MMA match.
I am also going with MMA match. I don't see why wrestling would have to be a stipulation in this.
Well,
because you can see that anytime.
That's right. Why would you pay to see wrestling?
I don't understand that. But Who would go over in the MMA match? Matt or MVP?
I'm going with former Deep South student and trainee of Bill DeMott and saying MVP over in the MMA match.
He's calling it, folks. I'm gonna go with Matt Hardy on this one.
Ooh.
I think this has been a good back and forth, and I think Matt kind of needs it.
Matt needs it.
Yeah, I think Matt needs this win here.
Yeah.
Next up is Triple H versus Umaga. Fans pick the stipulation in this match. That's the third one in a row, by the way.
Yeah.
It's going to be either a street fight, first blood match, or a steel cage.
I'm going to go with street fight.
You're going with street fight? Okay. I'm trying to write these down as we're talking here.
Okay.
And I'm starting to lag steel cage. I'm going to go with... I don't know why, but I think Steel Cage is going to win.
Okay.
And Triple H got to get his hand raised.
I'm going with Umaga.
You're going with Umaga. Are you sure?
Yes.
All right.
Hold it. I had to. Yes, I'm going with Umaga.
ECW Championship match. This is going to be the fans' choice. It's either going to be CM Punk taking on Big Daddy V, The Miz, or Morrison? John Morrison.
I think Morrison's out of it. Big Daddy V is on the rise. There's a lot of stuff going on with him. I'm going to go with Big Daddy V.
You're going to go with... Okay, Big Daddy V. I'm going to... oh, God, this is going to be a weird one. I can't really see... Like, The Miz is just like starting to come into his own.
Yeah.
And we've kind of seen Morrison... take on CM Punk a couple of times already.
Now you're thinking like me.
But it sort of seems like it sort of seems like Big Daddy. I heard they might move him to SmackDown permanently.
Well, what a great way to move him. Win or loss.
It's true. Let me. I'm gonna go with The Miz. I'm gonna take a plunge here and say
you're
The
going
Miz.
Going with the former Deep South Bill DeMott trainee.
The Miz.
All right.
And I say CM Punk wins the match.
I'm going to go with Big Daddy V to upset the champion.
Wow. You're taking risks at this game.
I am taking a risk. Let them be proud of me.
Next up is the World Championship, the World Heavyweight Championship match between the Batista and the Undertaker. I said the Batista. Batista and the Undertaker. I sound like Santino now. it's either going to be, this is a guest referee stipulation. It's going to either be Foley, Austin or JBL?
I'm going with JBL and Taker for the win.
JBL and Taker for the win. I'm going to go with Austin as the guest referee and Taker for the win.
Okay.
And finally, in the main event, this is a WWE championship match. Did you ever notice how on the pay-per-views now, when the World Heavyweight Championship was a Raw title, it was the main event of the pay-per-views.
Yes.
But now that the WWE Championship is on Raw, now it's the main event.
Over the years, I've kind of caught on to that.
I think the World Championship is supposed to be a bigger title just by the name, you know?
I think it's only a little portion of the world. That's what they forget to say when they announce it.
And it's parts of the world.
Yes, parts of the World Championship.
This is going to be Randy Orton. It's either going to be Shawn Michaels as the mystery opponent, Hardy, Jeff Hardy, that is, or Mr. Kennedy. This is going to be a tough one because...
I'm going with Mr. Kennedy.
You're going with Kennedy?
Yes.
I think, I think Kennedy is becoming really popular now on Raw, and he's getting set up for that really big thing.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy is always going to be the favorites in people's hearts, I think.
Yeah.
But I think this whole build with Michaels coming out, just coming back, I think the fans are going to go with Michaels on this one. They want instant gratification. I think they want to see Michaels now take on Orton. But either way, I think Orton's going to come out on this one.
I think Orton's going to come out on top, too.
All right. Next week, we'll have to see. So Bill, you're going to have to listen to the show next week to see if you or I won. But that's going to wrap that up. It's Cyber Sunday, guys. Check it out live on pay-per-view this Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern time.
I thought I was actually going to get a vote for a special match of the night on Cyber Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
Why was that?
I think it was supposed to be Hugh Morris versus the Gobbledygooker.
The Gobbledygook. No.
Not yet.
Dark match, maybe.
Well, I think I'm getting geared up to do one of these battle royals in the WrestleMania, the old timer battle royals.
I don't think it's that time yet.
I sure feel like it sometimes.
Well, guys, we are going to get out of here. Bill, I want to thank you for joining me for the second hour. And, best of luck with New Energy Wrestling. Check it
Thanks,
out, guys,
God.
on the MySpace.
Thank you.
God, we'd love to have you back soon.
It's a pleasure. Anytime, Doc. I appreciate it. And please give Les my best and thank him for letting me sit in for him.
Absolutely. We will be back with you guys next week. We've got Sean from KayfabeCommentaries.com. He's going to be joining us next week talking about the new guest booker DVD with J.J. Dillon involved. So come back next Tuesday, guys, 8 to 10 Eastern. And don't forget, check out WrestlingWeekly.com every day. If you're listening live on the East Coast, enjoy ECW on Sci-Fi. It's coming up next. We'll see you next week. Good night.